Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. As we bow our heads, we got to remember Sister Mudley, Brother Lambert, the many that are unwell in the bodies this morning, that the Lord will just undertake for them in a special way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are grateful this morning for the privilege we have as your children that we could come together. Thank you, God, that you could bring us in, O Lord, to remind us, O God, of your word, reminding us, O God, your promises, O God, and keeping us, O Father. We realize, O God, that we can't hold on to this truth. This truth has to keep us, O God. This truth has to preserve us, watch over us, O God. We can't do this on our own. No matter how many laws and rules that we may keep, O God, unless we weigh in your thinking, O Father, Lord, where and how can we protect ourselves? Grateful, O God, today for the believers that could come and support the work with the presents, the tithes and offerings, the mission work. Thank you for the office bearers, the government, Lord, the IT, the teams that are working, the music, the Sunday school and the youth. We bring, O God, the fivefold and the sister churches. Lord, today teach us your word. Monish our hearts, O God, that in all things that we will honor thee and please thee. Give us great grace and strength now. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. As the brothers bring up the scripture, Genesis 1:1. Amen. I greet you in the name of our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Alright, so just a few things to recap. Okay, Brother Brown speaks about eternity is like a perfect cycle. It has no corners or no ends. Okay, it has no corners or no ends. Just 1 second, I've got more than one mic here, so I'm trying to see what's going on. Alright, so if we go to the back now. Right, so I think we're trying to fix our sound, so just bear with us, those of you that are on streaming as well. All right, are we okay? All right, so he says it's a perfect circle, and he goes on to say it will never come to an end. It's an endless, and that's the way God was in eternity. Now, you and I cannot understand and work this out, but remember that he is bringing an illustration to us. Because some of the things you're going to find might be something that you can't work out. This is not for you to work out. As we're going over the subject, you're going to understand this. Alright, so when he speaks of there's no corners, so like you find a wedding band, when somebody uses the wedding band, it is speaking of continuity.
Fathom out what it means about where this being is. You see, but why? Because he goes on to say, he says it's a circle forever, and so his wife describes it as a hickey, because the eternity gets broken. He speaks of a little gap. A little gap comes up. Okay, so he says a little gap comes down, breaks over this way. And goes out that way. So what happens? That circle gets broken. Now, we're going to speak a lot about the dimension where this being is, now that we know he is God. Because remember that he had great passion to do certain things. But he could not do it in the form that he was in. So the prophet is bringing to you that period that where he was, there was complete eternity, and it broke. All right? And in Christ the Mystery, he says, God wanted to reveal himself to people. He couldn't do it as great Jehovah, who covered all space, time, and eternity. Now, you're going to learn certain vocabulary under this ministry that you're going to say, but how can we, it's not so clear. As we go over it and over it, it will become clear. So where this being is, although the prophet says there is space, there was no space there. There was no time, there was no eternity. Because remember that when we deal with time and when we're going to deal with eternity and we're going to deal with space as we are progressing, you'll find that we can't work out in our minds where this being was. Okay? And because he was so great, one cannot be in his presence. Now, remember that this being was made out of substance. You're going to ask me, what substance? We can't tell you. But what we can tell you that everything that comes out of him will be matter. Okay? And matter, if you study science, you'd find that for you to get matter, it is about energy. And so we're going to come to a conclusion eventually that this being is nothing more than a substance that has got energy, that becomes the originator of life, that becomes the originator of so everything that we see on this earth has to come from the fountain of spirits, has to come from this originator. Anything outside of that is a perversion. As I said to you, is that your body is programmed to only eat food that are digestible under the periodic chart. So anything that is outside those elements, your body struggles with. For example, did you know that your fingertips has got memory? Did you realize that if you can't, if you're trying to work out, let's say you're trying to type in a number, but if you've concentrated enough, all you need to do is to close your mind, close everything out, and you put your fingers, and you will be surprised how your fingers will pick up exactly what the buttons were. So, but how? Because you've got memory here. You've got memory. And your body, if you really understand your body, you speak about computers, your body is a supercomputer. You speak about people becoming a pharmacist, your body has got its own pharmacy. That it knows how to respond and react to certain events. Alright? So, this great God could not reveal himself in the substance that he is in, okay, because it's going to be too mysterious. It's going to be too mysterious. And he tells you that you, he says that this being never did begin. And then after you went beyond the cycles of hundreds of billions and trillions of years of light space. So you're hearing the word light space. You'll hear the word light years. It's because you cannot measure that according to your time of 24 hours. Right? These things will come clear as we're going on. And on out into the infinite, into eternity, and a great creature that was all that and still is. He's bringing out to you and I how this, where this being is. Billions, trillions, we spoke about it last week, a trillion, 137,000 years to count. To you and I, that is going to be impossible to count. So you hear of the word infinite. you'll hear the word infinite. So infinite is a concept used in mathematics, physics, and philosophy to describe something that has no bound, limit, or end point. It represents an unbounded, endless, and immeasurable state or value. The concept of infinity has fascinated thinkers for centuries and plays a significant role in various fields of studies. Have you ever asked your grandchild, maybe they 1 or 2 years, you love me? Oh, I love you 100 million, 200, 300 million. Have you heard them talk that way? Because they can't express. To them, the love is infinite, unlimited. Okay, unlimited. And so, science is saying is that there is a pattern. And they're using the word infinity. Infinite. Don't confuse it with infinity. Okay, infinite is a concept. So, infinity is denoted by a symbol like an 8 that is upside down or sideways. Okay, if you see my notes, it's like it's an 8 that is laying sideways. So when you see that, it is telling you that there's no bound, there's no limits. It is not a real number in the conventional sense. Now, you give this to Brother Norman, he can take it to another level. All right? But rather a theoretical concept used to describe quantities that go on forever without reaching a final value. Infinity can be both positive and negative. And mathematicians often work with an extended number system that includes these infinite values. So, you find that when you're looking at this being, we're going to learn something more about this being. And you can't place a value system to him in terms of his love. You can't put a number or weight of his mercy or quantity on his mercy. And what's important for us to note is that he doesn't have to get love. He doesn't have to make mercy. He doesn't have to develop grace. He is grace, he is love, he is joy. Which means his substance, his very substance that he is made of, already has these qualities in him. And so remember that as I progress, remember I started off with bridal attitude. I haven't forgotten. You're going to see the chain, you're going to see the link. And say, oh my word, I didn't realize this whole thing is connected. Yes, it's all connected to even your very body change. Okay? Your very body change is tied to it. So, when we're speaking about infinite or this infinite being, it is telling you, as a supreme being or ultimate reality, it possesses attributes of infinity, meaning that God is without bounds, is without limits, is without constraints. You can't, people say, it's so low, you can't go under it, it's so high. You might just think those are songs, but they're trying to describe the infinite being. And scientists, they say, listen, we can't measure, so we use the number 8, the sleeping down, infinite being. So even when it comes to his attributes of being omnipotent, all-powerful, you cannot restrict him. You cannot say, you think he can. Remember, he will only do that which is according to his laws and his word. He can make anything, but as long as it does not contradict his nature. You say, what do you mean? He will not make hybrid stuff. Okay, because his nature is the original seed. Is the original source. And so you cannot place a limit about How powerful is he? He's infinite when it comes to his power. Now, you're going to learn that energy cannot be created. You cannot create energy, and you cannot even destroy energy. Well, even these very inventions that you see around us, you say, well, but what if I destroy this board or destroy this tree? Yes, it'll still go back to a particle form, but you can't destroy it. Because energy cannot be created nor destroyed. Like even your very self, when you're born and you leave this earth, they bury you. Your particles that goes to the ground is never destroyed. Did you know that even you can die for hundreds of years, they can do a test because there's a leakage of your DNA in the ground. They can test you. Well, this body is so and so. They can't conclusively find a lot of other things, but they can prove that certain lineage or DNA was there. You know, like I was talking to a doctor once, and he was telling me that in the medical field, they were trained. He says that we would know exactly what the dog ate yesterday, whether they had meat, whether they had chicken, where they had rice. I said, okay. I said, how? He says, by the nose. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Because you can't, you say, but these are degradable. No, but the science is able to say, listen, you can't destroy energy. You can't destroy energy. So, this all-powerful God is made up of energy, and we are going to see that he's going to leave a signature of himself in his creation. Because it's not a substance that is created. If he's got the qualities of a lamb, he's going to leave his signature in a lamb. Now, those of you who understand certain things, you'll find that certain products, the products that have a high resale value or whatever it is, they leave their signature, and sometimes you don't even know that the signature is there. It's like a trademark. You pay for something, the people put the money through a scanner, a thermal scanner to infrared to see, you know what, whether your note is original. But when you look at it, you don't know what they're looking for. But they're looking for those signatures that they put in there to protect the currency, to know whether it is original or not. So he's got no limits in terms of his omnipotency, and so he's going to prove it by creating. He wants to prove that he can bring things out of nothing. Remember that nobody can do that. Science can go out there and they can make a tree identical to this, but the tree will not grow. He wants to prove that. You may say, but why? Because he was a purpose-driven God. He had a purpose. He had a thirst in him. He had a desire in him. And that desire could not come into existence when he was a mysterious being. Now, remember that in the eighth, which we call eighth, there's no eighth. Eighth dimension only existed in the mind of the being. Because, you say, but what you mean? Is because where he is, we are calling it eighth. Because we only know of the seventh dimension. Alright? And that only exists in his mind. But doctrinally, you're not going to find a scripture to say, well, he was in the eighth. You have to call it something. So we termed it absolute eternity. Alright? But we will move on to that. So even when it comes to his omniscience, his knowledge, there's no limit to his knowledge. There's no limit to his presence. And there's no limit to his His infinite mercy and love. Now remember that this being is also self-sustaining. He is self-sustaining. He does not need anything or anyone to make him survive. We don't add to God. We don't add anything to God. He can operate without us. You know, lots of times people, when they get upset, they don't come to church. They just don't want to. They think that they are, that God's, you know, let me see what God does. But what they cannot understand, they're only hurting themselves. It's only a matter of time it begins to show in their lives. Like some of you have noticed, I said to myself, well, maybe next week I'll talk about it. Some of you don't even come to church on a Sunday. You want to make money. You want to go to work. You are dishonoring the resurrection. And it's going to show up. If you elect it, it's going to show up some way. You say, how? I don't want to say too much, but when I have the time, I'll show you how it will show up. He will not allow his elect to desecrate his day. You should be only working if you are told to work. Your boss tells you, listen, you have to work because we got a deadline. The Bible says if the ox is stuck in the ditch, then you have to pull it out. But anything outside of that, you need to come to the tabernacle and then go to work. That's when you're showing your allegiance to God. So, because we don't add to Him. He only gives us an opportunity to express our love to Him. Remember that. He gives us, and this is one of the ways of saying, I want to worship you. This is one of the ways. Not all the things. This is one of the ways. By coming into the sanctuary, remember, streaming is not presence in the Lord. Streaming is not saying, I'm present with the Lord. Streaming is there for mission work, for churches outside Kenville. It's for witnessing. If you are in bed, okay, you can't get up. That's it. But not where, well, I'm going to stream today, you know. I'm not going to go to church. No, that's not honoring the resurrection. So He is self-sustaining. He doesn't need us. If He don't keep me, I can't keep myself. If He doesn't open up this truth to me, I mean, this series here, just one subject like this, it takes a lot of studying for the Lord to open up. And I know for you as well, you're having difficulty. But believe me that He will help you if you're faithful. And subjects like this will cause many to dry up. See, but why? It's because it's going to another level. It'll cause many to dry up. And say, you know what? He should be talking to us about Moses and so forth. I just don't understand. What's he talking about self-sustaining? What has he got to do to me? Well, self-sustaining means we need him. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. He could just be there and just still be the being. All right. So even His love and His mercy is infinite. You can't measure it. You know, sometimes in life we cannot understand what it is to love. You see, when somebody hurts you, when somebody does something wrong to you, somebody wrongs you, that's the opportunity to express the infinite love of God to that person who hurt you. You see, but what do you mean? Because anything outside of that, you're expressing the enemy's virtues. That's what you're doing. And you see, but you don't understand. You know what they did to us? Yes. Remember that you've come from the mind of God into this. That gap here, which we're calling Alpha and Omega, is actually even, I can bring this down even to you, to your personal life. You have a start and you have an end. You have a beginning and you have an end. Everything in between is the drama that takes place in your life. It's the role that you play. It's what God's going to measure you. Remember that you don't learn anything from success. You don't learn anything when people are nice to you. You cannot express God like you say, I want to be like God. Yeah. What are you looking for? Are you looking for to create? You're going to learn that when you were born again, there is enough power in you to create another world. So what are you looking for? You see, because we are so trained with charismatics, we don't understand what you have in you. But in order for Him to trust you with that energy that's lying within you, He wants to see what you do when you're faced with obstacles. Like, you know, even a simple thing like money. You know, money. People have this dream that they want to do a lot of things for the Lord. But the little that He gave you, He wants to see what you do with the little before He trusts you with more. So in this little gap is your life, your very life. You have a start, you have an end. Everything in between is your life. You are measured by how you treat those that hurt you. Eye for an eye. Let's see how far you go. You'll be miserable. You'll be bitter. Inside of you, it'll be eating you up. Whilst the person who did you wrong doesn't even bother. But who's hurting? It's you. Because the enemy wants to neutralize you. And then you'd find that you could have done something wrong in your life. You could have failed the Lord. And now you're making a start. You've come to this truth and you're making a start. Okay? And as I said to you all the time, we are not here to judge anybody. When you've come to the Lord, that's between you and God. But how do you know that you've overcome that problem in your life? You see, memory is one of the ways that you need to understand is that you can only know whether you have enjoyed true forgiveness is when I address a subject, right, and you're not squirming in your seat. Then that means that you have come out of it. But let's say that I speak about, you know, Joe Bloke is a rogue, he's a thief. And if Joe Bloke is a thief, you say, who's Joe Bloke? It's just a term, okay? They use all the time. And he stole something. And as long as he's sitting in the church and I'm preaching about stealing, people stealing the cars, people stealing the boss's time, and if he is restless, even though he came to the truth, it means he has not yet understood what it is to be forgiven. So every time I speak about stealing, it's going to work on him. It means that within him already, that he has not yet overcome. So you're going to find that every time a service comes across, and that's why my deacons and my elders were warned, you don't tell me things when you're dealing with problems in the church. You only come to me, Brother Norman and the brethren here, you only come to me when you know you have no solution. Because I've got confidence in you. Why? Because when I get behind the pulpit, I don't want somebody to say, did you tell Brother Louis this? No. These men have been long with me. They know how to deal with situations. And so you must understand that your memory, every time a subject comes up and you say, I thank you, Father, that I'm no longer a prisoner to this. You've been freed. But if you're not freed and you're restless and uncomfortable with it, you know, what's going to happen? It means that you have not yet arrived. You might be in church, but your past is eating you up. You say, but why? Because maybe somewhere along the line you have not truly confessed it. Somewhere along the line you skipped a couple of steps. Okay, that's just to speak a few things to go on. All right, let's go on. because we really, really out of time. So here's this being now. We spoke about this. This is in the absolute, absolute eternity. Absolute eternity. I want you to understand that this being here, you find that I use the number 8 lying down, which means I'm trying to bring out a picture to you that you cannot limit this being. You can't limit him. You cannot even question him about why he is doing certain things, because he doesn't give an account to anybody. You know, lots of time people say, but why are you applying 2 rules? I mean, look at Jacob and look at Esau. Esau was a hard-working man and Jacob was a shyster. But the Bible says he esteemed Jacob more than Esau. Why would God do that? Why would the being do that? Why would this great Jehovah do that? I can't answer you. So this being, you can't, he is an infinite being. We are trying to bring out a mathematical symbol to show to you that you cannot put a limit onto him. And putting a limit onto him is only going to say, listen, that he's got limits. So the area where where this being is, we are putting it. So this is Aleph 8. So this number N is Aleph. Alright? Aleph 0, Aleph nil, is a mathematical symbol to tell you that there is an area there that is billions, trillions, millions of light space that you can't even measure. Okay? So which is greater? Is the being of Aleph infinite or Aleph null or zero greater? It is the being that is greater, not the place or the environment where the being is. Now you might say, but why are you trying to bring up this math? Science is telling you, listen, that's how we can calculate, we can measure. And we are trying to bring a distinction now of the environment where this being is. And because the being is bound, limitless, boundless, as compared to the environment. Alright. Now, in this being are thoughts and plans, which we already know. And I told you the thoughts and the plans that he has, is actually when it is spoken and it is manifested and so forth, it is the Logos. So he is not the Logos, but the Logos is in the mind. Logos means thoughts and concepts. Now all this, brothers and sisters, somewhere November, December, we're with it. You must, by now you must go back, and I appreciate the board sending notes out to y'all and all those things so that you can learn, because it's too much to keep recapping every week. There's no time. Now, we spoke about DNA strands, everything that he is going to bring, where he wants to place his signature qualities in, is going to come from the DNA strands. He's going to choose how he's going to come. He's going to choose the form he's going to come in. Remember that he had a desire to fellowship with man. So he can't come as an animal. He can't come as a butterfly. He can't come as a plant. You say, but why did he choose human beings? I don't know. Maybe we are the highest species. Maybe we are the only beings that have a soul. Alright? And so, preeminence, he wanted to be God. He wants to be, he wants to have his preeminence in his son. He wants to fellowship with his people. All right? So, this God that we are speaking about, he's, you find he's infinite in perfection. He's infinite in perfection. You can't put anything to him. He doesn't make mistakes. You know, I made the statement once before, God does not make mistakes. When things go wrong in your life, think of that Alpha and Omega. That's your period of time. You get sick, you go to a hospital, your family, somebody dies. He doesn't make mistakes. You are just on a drama. That's where you are. And he's an absolute being. Okay? And as I said to you, we call him the absolute infinity. Now, remember that all infinities are not equal. I told you just now. All infinities are not equal. Even though they are limitless and boundless years or period of time, it's not the same. If you speak to science people and mathematicians people, they will tell you that infinite is not the same. They are not equal. You have infinite numbers. You have infinite numbers, okay? So let's look at infinite versus absolute infinity. What's the difference between these two? Because you need to understand a few things. Because when you begin to know about this God, you're not going to stress in your life. You're not going to panic in your life when things go wrong. Everybody's worried about the petrol crisis. Everybody's worried about the food. Everybody's worried about load shedding. I mean, you know, yesterday there was no load shedding. I'm still studying, boom, lights go off. Okay, so, oh my goodness, these guys don't even tell you. So, infinity is something which is considered never ending, but may end if some variable or condition changes. It can end. So, when we speak of billions and trillions, and so forth, years. At a point, like you read, he says this being was billions and trillions. Now, you and I will not live, but he's trying to get to, when you travel that period of time, but trillions and billions of years, you'll eventually come to this being. Okay? Which means, you can get to that point, and you can reach what we call your destination. So absolute eternity, or absolute infinity rather, is actually the absolute unknowable. You can't know this being. There's always a mystery about him. That's why he can only reveal himself by the creation that he designed, like his son. There's only two sons that came to tell you about this being. There's only two sons, and don't let this stumble you. He revealed it through his son or in his son. One was the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one was Brother Branham. Okay, you say, well, what you're learning is through a son of God. If he was not subjective to this word, the angel would not have visited him. So, this great infinite being was making himself known to a portion via this message. So, this absolute eternity or infinity lies beyond any angelic or human knowledge and ability. You can try and sit down and work out this absolute infinity. You'd find that you can't. That is why we give you these things, this knowledge in bite size. Everything we're learning is in bite size, small portions. Because you and I cannot fully understand. He will forever unveil. those things out there when we get on that side in ceaseless eternity. So absolute infinity or absolute eternity is where the self-existing one dwells. That's where he is. That environment. We speak here about the environment. Okay? We can't tell you what was the way he came from. I can't tell you. Who formed that environment? It's not even an environment. There's no language to describe it. Alright. Absolute infinity. We use the word Aleph. Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph Nul is the first smallest infinity. Beyond infinity known as Aleph Zero or Aleph Naught, there is Aleph One. Now, this is a mathematical formula, a method to measure billions and trillions. So when science is using that, they have some quantity in their minds to tell you, listen, at a certain point, we can know the variable or the answer. All right. So the absolute infinite was distinguished by three relations. How? By supreme perfection, being completely independent, and self-existing or self-sustaining. This being, nobody can perfect him. He is independent. He is self-sustaining. He exists by himself. He doesn't need anybody. Alright? And because this is where the being is. He's living in that dimension. In fact, the word dimension is wrong. If you use the word space, that's even wrong. But we're using that to relate to you that where he is a supreme perfection. Okay? Unbounded, indefinite, undefined, and is also without a form. Where he is without a form. He's in that environment of absolute infinity. This we talk here about this being and where he is. He does not have a form. He is going to decide what form he is going to take. He is going to decide what form he is going to take. So when he is in that eighth dimension, which we call absolute eternity, we can't even use the word he is formless. Because he is substance. Okay? He is substance. What substance is he made of? I said to you, you and I don't know that, but we can say that's an energy source. You say, but how can you prove that energy source? Did you know that everything in this room has got an energy? I will show you that as we're going on. Everything in this room, did you know that everything in this room vibrates? Everything in this room vibrates. If you're looking at this leaves, you see, but these things are standing still. No. They are vibrating. There is a movement. There's an energy flow in it. So every one of you have what you call an energy. You have an energy signature in you. All right? And if you track everything, it all goes back to that one great energy. It goes back to that one great energy. And you're going to, if I could jump in 2-3 months later down the road, your very thinking that you have releases an energy and releases what you call signals or waves. Now, you try this out, okay? And you'll realize how real it is. Keep thinking about, you know, everybody is getting the flu. Read about all the flus, things that's going on. Watch all the adverts they bring on. All right? As night follows day, you will get sick. Because your brain waves, when we will do that, is sending out a signal. That's why you find that like people that are going through marriage crisis will gravitate towards people that are going through marriage crisis. So, but why? They work in a frequency. Now, you have you noticed that you see a baby in a shopping mall and you don't even know the baby. You don't even know the baby. But you just... Like my wife, and I tell her, stop it. You know, she says, oh, but look at this baby. She'll just go. Because they give off a brain, they give off an energy, it's a frequency. All right? Now, that same baby, let him scream. Right? Because he's hungry. Or he's got a ear infection. Or maybe a toothache. That same baby that you wanted to hug. His frequency levels changed. Now you say, oh, take that baby away. You say, but why? That very same baby gave us one energy. Now the energy levels changed. I'm trying to tell you that you must be mindful of what you speak. What comes out of your mouth will decide how your stay on earth will be. You speak about poverty, you will enjoy poverty. If you keep having a negative picture in your brain, in yourself, about, hey, things are so hard, business is bad, my boss is giving me a hard time, brother so-and-so is a pain in the neck, you are formulating, you're sending out signals. Okay? And what's going to happen? In a couple of days' time, you're going to have that. You know, I always tell people, you know what? Like sometimes people say to me, I'm just so tired of this world. I say, but you've got to look after yourself. Hey, I'm just waiting for the rapture. You know, I just want to die. Yeah. What if you're going to die another 30 years and you stop looking after yourself? So, you're going to learn in these series as well what comes out. And what you speak about others. Okay? Oh, you know, I just hope that will come back to you. See, but why? It's a vibration. It goes and it bounces back. It comes back to the sender. They say, do unto others what others will do unto you. If you want to enjoy a successful and a blessed life, change the vocabulary of how you talk about others. No matter what you hear, learn this. When you pick up these subjects here, you're going to find out. Brother Branham says, one of these days, I can't find the quote, but it's from my memory. He says, one of the days, they're going to discover an equipment that's going to pick up the sound waves of the days of Jesus Christ. Because he doesn't leave the earth. What you say is going, he says, it goes round and round the world. And it's going to come back to you. That's why it's important. You say, but what if I do? Somebody hurt me or express myself. Zip it. Put it down on a piece of paper. Write down all your feelings, what you feel about so and so. Write it, keep writing. Empty your thoughts out. Write it. Take a piece of paper. Write across that forgiven and burn it up. Bury it. That is why they call it closure. Or else it's going to hurt you. Why I'm saying these things today? Some creatures are called eternal in the meaning that they will never end, such as spiritual beings. Now, you're going to learn that even although this being is eternal, he is eternal by substance. Nobody made him, nobody created him, nobody designed him. But you're going to learn later is that there are different levels of eternity or eternal beings. There are different levels. All right. So you'd find that why do we say that some things are eternal? Because it says even bodily things are called eternal in the sense that they are not quickly or visibly affected by time. You'd find when you look at some things, it seems as though they never age, they never get old. Okay, we're not talking about human beings and so forth. But you're going to learn that this being that is eternal never grows old, never ages, never learns, okay? But there's also other creations that seem to have that kind of eternal qualities. You see, but give us an example, like angels, okay? Like even a seed that you plant, they call it perpetual life. It seems like it's going on forever and ever and ever. But you're going to learn that everything that did not come from the absolute eternity and came from the splitting of the atom cannot be part of the absolute infinity. Let me explain that. Remember I said to you, as this being was lowering himself from absolute eternity, let me use the board so you can follow me. All right? Okay, so if this is the environment where the being is, okay, this is where the being is. I'm using that to describe the being. This being now has got all his thoughts and everything, which is the Logos, and he needs to come now into time, which is the seventh dimension. Please excuse my spelling. Oh my gosh. All right. Now, we termed this place absolute. Eternity. Okay. We say it was infinite. You cannot put a limit on it. Remember that this being wanted to lower himself. And so he brings down his nature, he has a spirit. He's still not in the seventh dimension. And this is very important. He's still not in the seventh dimension. Brother Irwin, is it okay? Is it my fonts okay? Or let me see. It's okay. It's my writing. So, he's still not yet in the seventh dimension. Alright? But what is he doing now? He is lowering himself. And I said to you, Brother Brown used the word condescend. It's not like instantaneous. He doesn't come from absolute eternity or absolute infinity. He doesn't come from there just like that into the seventh or the fourth or the fifth and so forth. No. Billions, trillions of years. And he doesn't form his nature. His nature already is there. He doesn't have to make any. All he ever does is that he's lowering himself. How long it takes, I can't tell you. Alright? But then, he would then decide that he needs to dress himself up. But before he could dress himself up, he has to create what we call a field. And which we said it's the heavenly field, which they're now calling Higgs field. You may say, but why is he doing that? Why is he creating a field? Because when his energy is now going to come into what we call matter. Something that is going to take on a form. If he does not set limits to it, that will fly off everywhere. All right? So, and also he is setting limits that nobody can go into that eighth dimension, because once he leaves that place, remember that this Alif infinite, this is the being. Okay? This is timeless. There is no time. There is no time there. And there is no limits to this being. And now, he doesn't have to consult anybody on what he's going to do. And what he's going to do, brothers, is he's going to clothe himself. So anything after the splitting of the atom, okay, is not part of the absolute infinity. Absolute infinity is here, up here. All right? This is absolute infinity. But when anything below that is part of the seventh dimension, that means you are now into time. But still, this is still part of the heavens. So that is why we call that absolute eternity. Okay? And now when you are in this part of the seventh dimension, you are in time. But this time here, brothers and sisters, is not your time of 24 hours. We're still not here yet. We're still not even there. And I also want you to know, the Son is still not there. The S-O-N, the Son of God, is still not there. Now, I think there was a question which I never, is that, was Adam in the eighth dimension? No. Everything that existed in this being was just thoughts. Okay? They were just thoughts. Not yet expressed. Like you've got plans. You've got thoughts. Maybe you want to go for a holiday. It's a thought. It's not yet a reality. So Adam was in the thought. You were in the thought. But you did not, this being did not speak it. Alright, I am deviating a lot. So everything that is created from our atom splitting cannot be absolute infinity. So I want you to be clear. Out here is only the being. Who is timeless, he's got thoughts in him, and so forth. Alright? So, everything that comes off that atom thereafter, you say, but what atom? You know what I said to you? He said, let there be light. I told you that when he said, let there be light, it spoke of three things. One is that the atom went out, and that's how he created a body of light for himself. All right. So, anything after that has got a beginning. Anything after that. That's why you find that when people who don't understand Godhead, and when they talk about Jesus, you'll never find those that don't understand Godhead calling him the Son of God. They call Jesus God or God. They call him the Father. Because they don't understand that he's got a beginning. It's got a beginning, and I'll prove it to you as we're going on that our doctrine of Christ, you can rip it apart and you can't find a flaw in it. Because it'll tie up with the scripture, it'll tie up with the quotes, and it'll not contradict there's only but one God. Okay. So just a recap. About this God, the uniqueness of this God is an energy. It's got no shape or form in that eighth dimension. He has a mind. Okay? He has a mind. He's already in the eighth dimension, he's substance. Okay? You see, but it's like how you are. You are substance. But before you could arrive at some stage, somebody thought about having a child. But now you are here, you are substance. Alright? Now, For him to have eternal life, or for you to have eternal life, you need a gene. But he's got no gene. He's got no gene. Because he's the originator. He never came from thought. Everything after that Higgs field, after the splitting of the atom, came from thought. Which means this being had to think about it. Nobody thought of this being. Nobody said, oh, we're going to have a being in the eighth dimension. We're going to place him the boundless, limitless, in absolute eternity. He's going to be infinite in his quality. Nobody thought, because he is who he is. You and I came from thought. Somebody in your natural now had a thought about you. Okay? Now, I hope this does not confuse you. But you've got a spiritual energy and you've got a natural energy. You've got a spiritual energy and you've got a natural energy. What I'm seeing is your natural energy. But there's a spiritual energy also that's within you. When that two sink, when those things sink, and the spiritual energy dominates your natural energy, things will take place that you never understand. Say, but why? Because now you're talking about the inner man controlling you, which is the soul area, which came from the mind of God. Your body, which is also part of the energy, came from your mother and your father. And that's why you have a fight going on in you. All the time there's fights going on. You know, must I go to church today? That man's going to go on and on about the eighth dimension. I don't know what's going on. That's your mother and father's genetics there. Fighting, that's energy from them. Which came from the serpent lineage. Okay? So he only chooses the form he wants to condescend. His nature he wants to present himself in. He's already got the nature. He doesn't put a nature together. He's only going to choose what form, how he's going to come. Alright? So remember this, that no substance of the seventh dimension makes him up. Like lots of times people say, the pillar of fire is God. No. The pillar of fire comes in the seventh dimension. Doesn't make in God. He's always been self-existing. Okay? Nothing of the seventh dimension makes him up. Step back a little bit in your mind, in your studies. Step back as we're going on. But I need to move ahead. He does not learn. Okay? He never becomes wise. He does not have to have a thought to be omniscient. He doesn't have to think about. He never improves. He can't improve. You see, but because everything that will be has been already in his thinking. He doesn't have to learn anything. He doesn't become wise. That's why you can actually see the difference between our Godhead and everybody else that's preaching about God. The Trinity and the oneness and so forth. Because this being does not learn. But yet my Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in knowledge. And in favor with God. That's what the Bible says. He doesn't have a thought to be omniscient. That means he's not going to say, well, I think I need to be an omniscient being. No, he's already omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's, from the time that we heard about this being, those qualities already existed in him. Okay. First, he was not even God, and we just call him the Eternal One. The prophet is giving you a description. He's an Eternal One. And he goes on to say, he's the main fountain of all intelligence. I'm not reading everything, but you can go home and you can. He says, the main fountain of all intelligence. I mean, If you study the natural birth, it's such a mystery. How is it that every one of you, your heart is on your left hand side? If there was no interruption in your birth, how is it that your legs are where it is and your hands are where it is amongst the human species? Why is it? You try to do something like that and see how, even if you do a drawing, even if you copy something, you can't even get it accurate. How is it that the laws that he sets in the growth of a human being is so consistent? Because there's an intelligence in there. How is it that every tree at winter time, in every season, all the sap goes to the roots? There's a certain intelligence there. How is it that the tree knows exactly when to bring out its flowers and when to bring out its fruit? There's a certain intelligence there. How is it your body, your very, very body, is programmed how to process your food? Intelligence there. That's the main fountain of all intelligence. Comes from this great being, this great God. And in this fountain of intelligence, there was not an atom, molecules or nothing, light nowhere, stars, moon, nothing else. He's trying to tell you that there's nothing there. There's no atoms. You see, you need atoms to make up matter. So he's a substance that you can't even say he's part of the atomic periodic chart, as one would call it. It's got nothing to do with that. Okay. It says, in him was attribute to be God, attribute to be Father, Son, attribute to be Savior, attribute to be a healer. All these attributes was in him. That means all his thoughts. He wanted to be a father. You see, but you say he wants to be a son. The son could not be a son unless God becomes the son himself. There can never be a musician on this earth unless the first musician was God. There can never be anybody that was an artist unless the first artist was God. He was the first originator of everything. You say, but why? Because he is the Alpha and Omega. That means he's the beginning. Think of anything. Plumber, he was the first plumber. He says, Prophet, your body, your entire body is like a pipeline. Did you know that? He knew where the joints are going to be. First plumber. He was the first artist. He painted Adam's body, red earth. We can go on. These things that are unfolded since then are just his attributes being made manifest. Attributes are his thoughts. Okay? All right. So when he begins to leave the eighth dimension, as we're calling it, absolute eternity, he begins to form himself. Notice the word form himself. As he begins to form himself, the traits and qualities now is gathered up together in what we call a nature. All his traits and all his qualities, he gathers it. So the prophet of God says, he says, and God gathered his thoughts. He gathered his thoughts. Okay, God willing, I think I showed it last week. I'm not too sure if it's today. So he had to decide what his children will be. Whilst he was in the eighth, he had to decide what they're going to look like. He had to decide what form he's going to take. He had to decide what the children are going to be, your roles. Everything was planned out and plotted. That is why you should not get stressed about your life. Don't get anxious about things. If you did your best, I tell people, do your best and leave the rest to God. Your very mistakes that you made was part of your Alpha and Omega season. You can't undo it. All you need to do is to learn from it. Become a testimony to others and tell them, hey, you know what? I've learned from this. Don't let it hold you down as a prisoner. He's condescending down to a point to fellowship with them in such a manner for them to know him in a certain way. That's what he's doing. He's lowering himself. All this is taking place from the eighth dimension and coming down. Okay? Then as that relationship starts, he goes back up. He takes us in our understanding of him more and more. So remember that he comes down and eventually he will go up. After the plan of redemption, everything is sorted out. You say, but why is he doing this? He's doing it for himself. We are created for him. We are for his pleasure. So everything that we do on this earth, we must keep asking, is this for the glory of God? When you are eating your food, you are thanking him, it's for the glory of God. The job you have, the safety you have, when you return from a journey, you say, Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Before you leave, Lord, I thank you that you're watching us, our comings and our goings. What are you doing? You are giving him glory because he's your protector. Amen? So he doesn't have to create the nature. He has to put it together. He doesn't have to form a mind. He just has to bring his mind on because he exists. And in that mind, he has the logos, which is the concept of God. Okay, the thought and concept that is still unexpressed. I told you about this, unexpressed. Still in his mind because he's still a being, a spirit being. Now, I use the word spirit, right? Remember that in the seventh, eighth dimension, he was not spirit. You must say, but what was he? He was substance. What substance? I don't know. But he cannot bring that substance down and have fellowship because it will be mysterious. So he comes down into, from that substance now, he becomes a spirit being. And that is how we know that in the seventh dimension, that he's called the Holy Spirit. Why Holy Spirit? To distinguish between every other spirit that's going to come up. Every other spirit that's going to come up. The mind that he has is, there is no mind like this, because his mind is not made up of any material from the sixth dimension, from the seventh dimension. And in that mind he has the Logos, which is the concept of God, the thoughts and so forth. We already spoke about that. And it's just a part of the energy, so that means that his mind is only one who has the complete capacity to be omniscient, all-knowing. We will never know. I think we only use about 5% or 3% of our thinking capacity, of our brain cells. We have not yet discovered everything else. And that's why you find that we sometimes need to rest, we need to shut down our minds. And that's why we sleep. Because we can go insane. People that have insomnia. Okay? Now, the younger generation is coming up. You're going to have a bigger challenge. Because the millennials, you'll call yourself the millennials. Your morning starts 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Alright? You say, but why? Because you are sleeping from 2 o'clock that morning. And you only wake at 1 o'clock the next morning. You're going to have issues if you don't fix yourself up. Your hormonal balances in your body works with the sun. Your mind can't shut down. That is why you speak to a lot of people, young people. Why can't you sleep? No, man, I can't sleep because I'm thinking. No, you've conditioned yourself with devices and so forth. Your chemicals and all those things. So his mind does not shut down. Our minds have to shut down. That's why we speak of meditation. You must start your day with at least an hour or 30 minutes before, just yourself with your God. Don't get off and rush there and do things and so forth. Because once you get into the kitchen, sister, you can't get out. Brother, once you get into your day-to-day routine, you can't get out. Okay? You got to build yourself around the program of God. Don't build God around your program. Start your day with coming to know your Creator and end the day with that. Because remember, is that if you don't get your mind in order for the day. The day is going to be hectic for you. Notice he doesn't have to create the nature. He just puts it together. He doesn't have to form a mind. He brings his mind down. Okay. So his idea was to come into time. Now he takes on a name. Remember that in the eighth dimension, they gave it a term, which is J-V-H-V. So there is no vowels in the Hebrew here. Nobody can even pronounce this. The word Jehovah, people say he's Jehovah. He says that's not the real name of God. Those are the titles that he was given. Titles. Okay? God only had one human name. And that human name was Jesus. But it was kept a mystery. It was kept a mystery. It's only going to be revealed later. Okay? It's only going to be revealed. So, he calls himself the Word. He calls himself the Word. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, he was called the Word of God. So remember that when he's taking a form, there is no theophany. The Word is just an identification of him. It's not another being. It's just him now planning to take a form. It's like him getting off the chair, just an example, and walking towards the form that he's going to be. But he says, listen, it's now going to be called the Word. That is why when you read John 1:1, which we will do more in detail, in the beginning was the Word. That is coming back to time. John 1:1 is coming to the seventh dimension. Okay. So these are all some of the... I'm not going to go through all this because I just don't have the time. Brother Fritz was one of them, contributed towards this. In the eighth dimension, before he was God, these are all the titles. Now remember all the titles of this deity that he wanted to express. I just want to take a few. He wanted to express El Roy. Okay? So, El Roy is a name for God that appears in the Bible, specifically in the Old Testament, which means the God of seeing, the all-seeing God, the God who sees. So he wanted to be known as the God who sees everything. But he could not do that in that absolute eternity or in that infinite zone. He can't do that in that form because who's going to see him? So you can read about in Genesis 16-13 the story of Hagar, the maid of Sarah, Abraham's wife. How his title of the all-seeing God became known. It's a story of Hagar who fled from Sarah's mistreatment and found herself in the wilderness, where the angel of the Lord appeared to her and instructed her to return to Sarah. Hagar, in response, called the Lord El Roy, saying, "You are the God who sees me." So sometimes you're going through a difficult time, you're going to say, "You are El Roy. You're the one that sees my problems, sees my trouble." But he can't do that. He can't use that title in that field, in that absolute eternity. Okay? El Roy signifies the divine omniscience and awareness of God. It highlights the belief that God sees and knows everything, includes the struggles and pains and circumstances of individuals. You might be going through a unique problem. I don't know what your problem is. You could be going through a difficult time that none of my board members know about it. But I want you to know that He knows. He sees your struggles. You need to acknowledge that He sees those things. Okay? So the story of Hagar is a reminder that even in difficult situations, God is aware and concerned, providing comfort, guidance, and intervention. Sometimes you want God to take you out of the problem, But most of the time, like the three Hebrew boys, he wants to want you to go through the fiery furnace because he wants to be with you in that fiery furnace so that when you come out of it, you become a better person. See, lots of time people want to escape the situations they are facing. They don't want to face it head on. But what happens? They become weaker. So Elroy is just one of the many names and titles used to refer to God, emphasizing different aspects of His character and nature. El Elyon is another name for God that appears in the Bible. He wants to express that as well. I'm just using one or two titles. Means God Most High, or the Most High God. He wanted to be considered as the Most High God, but He could not be considered in that form. He needed to lower His form. He's the Most High God. Okay? It's mentioned for us in Genesis 14, verses 18 to 20. Okay? And Psalm 78, when you're reading about Abram was defeated a group of kings in battle, he encountered Melchizedek, who was both king and a priest. And Melchizedek blessed Abram, and Abram gave him a tithe of all the spoils he had coined, and Melchizedek referred to God as El Elyon. You know that that he appeared in a theophany body. He appeared in different forms. It's the same God, meaning God Most High. Why? Acknowledge the supreme authority and sovereignty of this great God. You see, he had many titles and he wanted to express it. But he had to lower his form. Psalm 78:35 says, they remembered that God was their rock, the Most High God, which means El Elyon, their Redeemer. And sometimes when you go through life's journey, the scripture must come back to you, He's the highest authority. What will take place cannot take place without His permission. No matter how bad it sounds, how terrible it might be in your life, I don't know what your struggles are, but He is the Most High. He knows what's good. He will not give you more than you can handle. Okay? El Elyon emphasizes the absolute sovereignty, supremacy, and the preeminence of God. It signifies that God is the highest and most exalted ruling of all creation. It highlights His divine authority, power, and majesty. That's what He wants to do. Okay. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victory. You can go home and you can read Exodus 17 and 15. This is about when Israel were engaged in battle with the Amalekites. Alright? I'm not going to go through because we're running out of time. Okay, and you find that Moses built an altar and he called it Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Okay? Why? God is, when somebody has a banner, it means victory. God is our victory. God is our protection. God is our deliverance. Jehovah Nissi. That is why He's lowering His form so people can look up to Him and sing a song about the victory they've enjoyed because of Jehovah God. Jehovah Nissi highlights the role of God as being a standard or a banner. It symbolizes God's presence and His power to overcome adversities and to provide victory in the time of conflict. God wants to be praised. He wants to be glorified. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, you know about. He's a God who provides. You know about Isaac. And you know about Abraham's story. Alright. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. In Exodus 15:26, He reveals Himself as the one who brings healing and health to His people. But can you imagine, He's a healer, but there's nobody getting sick. Jehovah Jireh is a God who provides, but there is no need in the eighth dimension. That is why He has to lower Himself so people say, I thank You, Father, You've provided for us. You might be a businessman and the country could be going through economic famine and you could be struggling, but the mere fact that He's allowed you to pay your bills, put food upon your table, and even if you made one rand profit, He's provided for you. Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. Gideon used this in Judges 6:24 when he encountered the angel of the Lord and built an altar, recognizing God's presence and God's peace. Jehovah Ra, God is my shepherd. The title is found in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The one who cares, the one who guides, the one who provides for his people. Okay, Jehovah Tiskinu means God is our righteousness. In Jeremiah 23:6, referring to God as a source of righteousness, the one who provides righteousness to his people. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, mentioned in Ezekiel 48:35, signifying God's everlasting presence among his people. Jehovah Shammah. Okay? He says Jehovah is not, he says the name of Jehovah is not correct. I told you this. Jehu, okay, J-V-H-U. It isn't Jehovah. They don't know what it is called in Jehovah, but it wasn't his name. So Jehovah wasn't his name. That was just the titles. Okay, so let's go move on. So before the beginning, this great Jehovah, or just great being, had a purpose. He was in the eighth dimension. Okay, he was self-existing, self-sustaining. And he was omniscient. In terms of the Webster Dictionary, is as infinite awareness and understanding and insight, possessed of a universal or complete knowledge. Omniscience, making God the source of all knowledge, understanding and wisdom. Okay, these are all in your notes. Omnipotent, I'm skipping all this because we've done all this, okay? Alright, let's go back. So this is absolute eternity. We call it absolute infinity, which is timeless eternity. So we have the being. Okay, we have this being, and in this being he's got thoughts, which is the Logos. And what he wants to do now, all these thoughts are in his infinite mind. He's got no limits. And so I want you to, some of the things I'm going to introduce now, so you're going to be careful now. So in this infinite mind, he's got knowledge, which is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows everything. Okay? He knows the beginning, he knows the end, he knows how the world's going to start, how the world's going to end. He knows every role that everybody's going to play. Every country, you know, people are anxious about what's going to take place in the world. I told you that even the Third World War can't take place unless the angel of that country allows the Third World War to start. That's why I tell you, reading the news and all these things sometimes puts fear in you. I know lots of you are on all those, excuse me, community chats and so forth. They're there to rob you of your faith in God. They're there to put fear into you, you know. And the enemy will do anything possible to put fear into you. And all these uses and so forth, Brother Brown says, it's the same use, different people. Same murder, different people. Same spirit. So, this being is self-sustaining, as we spoke about. And he's made of energy. Okay? And so, this energy he wants to express that he is omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful. In order for him to show that he's all-powerful, he wants to start creating. That we can look back and say, wow, how did he do this? Okay? How did he do this? So, what is he going to do? This energy that we're talking about is going to exist in two different forms. It's going to exist as a wave, or it's going to exist as a particle. Okay? To exist as a wave or a particle. Now, the terminologies will come clear as we are progressing. Now, remember that this energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It's called the law of conservation. He is the only one that can go against the law of conservation. He's the only one that can do that. You and I can't do that. He can decide when he wants to change it and destroy it. But you see, energy cannot be destroyed. Once it's coming from that source, it will exist in some form. In some form. I spoke to you about when somebody dies. You may not see the physical remains, but the residue is there. The DNA is there. So, Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. The only thing that can happen to energy, it can be transformed. It can be transformed. You are energy. You are energy beings. And so subconsciously you always say, oh, I feel so tired. I've got no energy. But somewhere along the line, you didn't even understand what you were saying. You come from an energy source. Okay, you come from an energy source. So only the creator can defy the law of conservation. Nobody else can do that. You can't change the laws. You can't destroy it. Even man can say, listen, I'm going to destroy this. They can't. All he's going to do is to transform the form it is in. They either bring it into gas form, liquid form, or particle form, or whatever it is. Alright? So we spoke about this being. It is alif, infinite. That means it's got no beginning, it's got no end, it is limitless, infinite being. It's an infinite being. It's in timeless eternity. Alright. Now, Prophet goes on to support what I said, is that he says you cannot annihilate anything. Human beings can't be annihilated. So even if you die millions of years, you can't be annihilated. They tear down, but not annihilate. Okay? So even if people are burned, or papers are burned, like even if I had to burn this paper, you say, look, you destroyed it. No, I just changed the form. I only changed the form from paper. It'll go into another form. No, sir. It only breaks the chemicals apart, the heat of the fire. It goes back to gases, what it was in the beginning. It's going to get very interesting as we go on to find out how your body spins off or rotated off angels. You know, all the stars that you're seeing in the skies are gases. Those are gases. Okay? And you're going to learn about these stars. How these stars will release light. And you're going to find that as these lights begin to continue, the stars will begin to lose its capacity. They sort of backslide. And when they backslide, the star begins to die. And a dying star, eventually what happens, it creates what we call a black hole. The black hole, you hear about the black hole, we're going to go into the black hole. And so the black hole is a type of the bottomless pit. And so what it does is going to suck every other star into it. It's going to create what we call an energy field, a field around it to pull it in. Alright? So, it says it goes back to gases, what it was in the beginning. You cannot annihilate it. If the world stood long enough, that same gases, that chemicals was in that paper would come right back and be a piece of paper again. That's right, you cannot annihilate it. You know, you heard about dinosaurs. They call them fossils. Fossils. They're making fuel now. You're getting coal and so forth. But over the billions of years, those things were there. Now you're getting a fossil fuel. They're just changing the form of this energy all the time. Goes on to say, so no matter if you're burnt up, if you're drowned, whatever place takes place, they cannot annihilate. You know, just by the way, you know, I know the laws of our country are very difficult in terms of people dying and where to be buried and so forth, but we need to do everything we can to try and get believers buried. Okay? Because remember that cremations started off in the time of the Celtics. The Celtics. They started cremations as a form of worship and so forth. But our country laws are changing where they're not allowing you to bury and so forth. But you say, but will that be a problem? No, if you can't, like sometimes you'd find that people will have to do a cremation because there's nothing left there. There's no remains, so you just so forth. But wherever you can, you need to try and bury your loved ones. You know, where you can't, bottom line, you've tried all you can, and just leave the rest to God. Will they come up? Yes, they will come up. No matter what form they are. Even You might say, but Brother Louis, you know, what about those that were eaten by the lions? It's true, they were eaten by the lions in the dark ages and so forth. You see, every one of us, we have our bone structures. Have you ever thought about this, about if the rapture takes place? You're not taking your body with you. So, what's going to take place? What's going to happen to all your bones? Is there going to be a pile of bones everywhere? And say, hey, my goodness. And you know, you read these movies, clothing and everything. People leave their pants and the jackets just falling there. No, your natural body don't go there. Your natural body don't go there. But here's the thing. You're going to learn that there are dimensions between the sixth dimension. And when the rapture takes place, these dimensions have got pockets. It's going to hide your bones in there. Your bones are going to hide in there. That when people are, when you leave this earth and the rapture takes place, the world will continue. There's not going to be a pile of bones anywhere for you. Your bones will be sucked into that dimension. There's a quote, Brother, if you can, it's somewhere in my notes, but he says people will miss. You know, he says people will come up missing and people don't know where they are. But where are all those bones? Where are the remains? In there, in those pockets, which the world is sometimes calling like saucers. Okay? So no matter if you're burnt up, if you're drowned, whatever takes place, they cannot annihilate it. They cannot annihilate it. So these fields and these dimensions are there to hide certain things. Okay? Just remember that every part of you was here when God spoke the world into existence. He put your body right here, and there's nothing can take it away except God. It's all back into His hands again. So His thoughts is going to produce matter. Okay? So with this energy form, no creation can be in the being's presence. In that form that He is in, nobody can be in His presence. Now, I made a statement that when we go on to the other side, we will not be in His presence. But the point I need to clarify is, when this being is in this form, you can't be in His presence. You can't see Him. That is why He says to Moses, no man can see me and live. He says, you will die. So what He has to do, He has to dress this form up. He has to condescend this form. And so you're going to find that, excuse me, is that when you get onto the other side, you are going to have a body that will have access to this being. I say, but what do you mean? You see, right now, we ask everything, when we pray, we ask this, Father, in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there will come a time that we are not going to pray and ask these things in the name of the Son. Now, this might be a bit distinct, but just to throw it in there. Okay? It's because after you've been birthed, you become adopted into sonship. Now you're going to have access to God. So, He says, before you ask, I will answer. I want you to think about this. In these series, are you going to find that if you stay in touch with these series, the bride's thinking is going to come together? Have you ever realized sometimes you will think of somebody and the phone rings? You say, hey, I was just thinking about them. Now, I'm going to tell you something, but don't try this out. Okay? It's not good. But I guarantee you are going to try it out. You're going to a place and the people are all looking that way. Choose anybody and just look at them. And if you think, I want this person to turn around. And if you concentrate, that person will turn around. You say, but why is that possible? Because I told you, you're sending out a signal. You're sending out a signal. Now, some of the things, if I tell you, might blow your mind, but Just remember that the bride is going to come to get to know a part of God's mind. And that's why you're going to find that amongst the bride, you're going to have the same thinking. This energy of your father and mother is going to get lesser, and the energy that is within you is going to get stronger. That you will come to that one mind. You say, but how, Brother Louis? It's because we are now trying to make you aware about who this God is. You already know who God is and who the Son is. You already know that. There's a Father and a Son. Now it's about now getting to know your God. That's what we're doing. And then you're going to get to know who you are. Who you really are. You see, right now, you are living below your benefits. You are living below your benefits. I am telling you that. You don't even know who you are. If you really know who you are, you will not be affected by the things around you. You will never be affected by anything. You will say, God, I am so grateful that I'm your son, I'm your daughter. Okay? So this energy form, no creation can be in that being. So he's going to lower it. So that's why in that future home, it's going to be just like the days of Adam. Have you noticed that in the cool of the evening, Brother Brian says, he says, the pillar of fire will come down under the palm trees and says, hello, children. So you find that the days of Adam, the people, the first man could be in the presence of the being at a certain period in the cool of the evening. And so you're going to see even in the new city, the people outside the city are going to have a body like Adam that can only come into the presence of this being only for a season. But you as the elected of God can be in the presence of this being, okay, now because now you're going to get to understand his thinking. See, but why? Because you're going to have a glorified body. I told you this, is that your glorified body and the glorified body of the Son is always different. Even though the Son has got a glorified body, he's still not omniscient like the Father. He will still not know everything. And even though you have a glorified body like the Son, you will not have the scars that he has. His scars will never get healed. It will always be a memorial. Do I make sense? Okay. The bringing of eternity was necessary for the being to design a body to hold this energy. And that's why we use the word condescension. Okay. A body to dwell in time, but not subject to time. A body to dwell in time, but not subject to time. Remember that Jesus, when he died, and Brother Brown says, he ascended to the Father. He says, but within seconds, he was amongst the presence of the disciples, and he was able to walk through walls. Now, this is going to blow your mind, but Brother Brown speaks about Einstein. If two objects are passing each other at the same speed, they will pass each other without even hurting one another. You're going to learn about that, which is part of your body change. Okay? He makes a statement. He says, Einstein broke into eternity. Einstein broke into eternity. Now, some of you that don't know about Einstein, for now, just remember the name. Who's Einstein? Okay? We will teach you more about this as we're going on. But why does this Einstein of this 20th century, which is our prophet, chooses a natural Einstein? Why does he bring it up? There must be a reason. Because Einstein spoke about the law of relativity. All right? And many people could not understand what Einstein was saying. Did you know that when Einstein was going to school, the school sent a note to his mother and said to him that we can't do anything for your son. Your son was a mental retard. Go and read the story of Einstein. Alright? But when his mother received the note, the writer says that She called her son and said to Einstein, he says, I've got a note from your school. She never read the note that he was they said that he's a retard. She says, no, your son was a brilliant boy. We cannot cope with his intelligence. And we find that the knowledge that he has supersedes our knowledge. Okay? But you can go and read it. The story about Einstein. Very makes interesting reading. Sometimes how you talk to your children. You know, tell your child, you know, you are such a, you know, badger. You want him to be a badger? Huh? No. The words you put out will decide who your son is going to be. That is why I want you to know that ministries that condemn and keep criticizing, you notice in our preaching, I spend very little time on the fundamentals of your body, your problems in your flesh. Because the more a minister preaches on the weaknesses of people, the worse they become. Okay? Did something flash or did I change something? Alright? So, the worse they become. There is nothing negative under the seventh seal. There is nothing negative under the seventh seal. Everything you're learning is positive. Even your very negative things that you are going through is actually for your positive. Are we all good? Okay. So, this body is going to dwell in time but not subject to time. And what he's going to do, he's going to gather up his thoughts. Whatever thoughts he had, he's going to gather it and he's now going to take on a form. So, this mind has got thoughts. But there are different kinds of thoughts that he has. He's got different kinds of thoughts. He's got eternal thoughts. Now, these thoughts, eternal thoughts, as a substance, that means in him are thoughts which are substance. We're looking at the thoughts that he has, this being has. Alright? He had thoughts about you. He had thoughts about the 144,000. Okay? Then he also had perpetual thoughts. We will go into this. Right? Like the angels. Angels have got, they seem to be eternal, but they've got no Zoe. Only human beings will have Zoe. Not human beings. Only the elect will have Zoe in there, which means a part of God. But angels don't have souls. You're going to have a soul. The human beings have got a soul. And the human beings will have Zoe in them. So, when he had thoughts about angels. You know. Would you say that Lucifer is an enemy of God? Or would you say that Lucifer is a tool of God? Sorry? He's a tool of God. 8-year-old. Tool of God. He's not an enemy. Say, but I thought he was there. No. He's a tool of God. Because God is going to design him to carry out things for the glory of the Father. So he had thoughts about people outside the city. Perpetual thoughts. They've got no Zoe in them. So how are they going to live out there? They're going to get eternal life. Okay? But they don't have Zoe. They're going to have a body, not a glorified body, but a body that Adam had in the seventh day. A body without sin. But they can't be in the presence of the being forever. Okay. So he had thoughts about you. Why? Because you become part of the family of God. So the part of the family of God are the elect and the 144,000. They make up the family of God. You remember I spoke about the bride is made up of the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's also made up of the 144. Alright? The elected. You have the Hebrew bride and so forth. So the family of God is made up of the elected, made up of the 144,000. Okay? And then, in his mind, this being not only had thoughts, but he also had the code of life. Now the code of life is very important, because I said to you, every signature, every DNA pattern of his nature, he is going to express. That is every attribute about kindness, meekness and so forth, bravery. All these attributes, he is going to express it. But he needed the code of life. That code of life, brothers and sisters, is going to express his nature. So you say, but he is going to put his signature in the dove, the DNA. And when you look at the dove, it's going to remind you, wow, it speaks of the Holy Ghost. It speaks of having no gall, no bitterness. But is God in the dove? No. It's only a quality he places in the dove that will remind you of the quality that is in God, because God is invisible. Okay? He's invisible. And so we find that all of these thoughts that he has is actually the concepts. So this, we call it the Logos. The Logos is actually in the mind of the being. The Logos, the concepts, are in the mind of the being. Remember, the Logos is not the being. But the being has got a mind. And in the mind is the thoughts and concepts, which we call Logos. So, what is a Logos? It's an expression of his thinking. You are an expression of his thinking. Right? But we'll spend more time as we're going on, as you're getting to understand it. So, he has plans for himself. He has thoughts about himself. The plan incorporates that he is the Word. So, he lays out the plan, what he wanted. And then he had a plan for creating a firstborn unique son. Not like us, unique, completely unique. He had a plan for that. How his son is going to be. Alright? He had a plan for the angels. He had a plan for mankind. He had a plan for different creation, bodily life, animal life. Okay? Now we speak here about Einstein. Einstein spoke about energy is equal to mc squared, which is mass times speed of light. Okay? That's what energy is. So E stands for energy, which is measured of how much work or power something has. M stands for mass, which is a measure of how much stuff an object contains. We'll go through this as we're going on. And C stands for the speed of light in a vacuum, which is a constant and a very high value, which is approximately 300,000 kilometers per second, or 186,000 miles per second. That's light, the speed of light. How fast light? Have you noticed that that even your communication, your fiber optic lines is actually light? If you break it, you see nothing. There's no cables in there. They discovered that even light is a transmitter. Okay? Alright, so the equation states that energy of an object is equal to its mass multiplied by the speed of light squared. Okay, so that's the formula. But for those of you that want to remember it, but are we throwing it in? We're throwing it in. If you can't understand it, step back a little bit, go back, step back, slow it down, and we'll pick this up as we're going on, okay? The equation shows that a small amount of mass can contain an enormous amount of energy. It helps explain the relationship between matter and energy, suggesting that they are interchangeable and that mass can be converted to energy and vice versa. I explained that to you. You can't destroy energy. Everything has got energy. Everything that's moving has got energy. Nothing dies. You think things die, they don't really die. It just changes its form. One of the most famous applications of the equation is in the nuclear reaction. Okay? Where a tiny amount of mass can be converted into a tremendous amount of energy, as demonstrated in nuclear bombs, nuclear plants. But just don't worry, I threw this for some information. Einstein's equation revolutionized our undertaking of the universe and laid the groundwork for modern physics, leading to breakthroughs in nuclear physics, cosmology, and the development of technology like nuclear power and nuclear medicine. All right. But that's just a little bit. You don't have to worry so much about. Let's go back to what we were speaking about. And I drew this diagram so that you have an idea. So this is the attributes. He had a code of life and he wants to be a creator. He wants to be a healer. He wants to be a savior. He wants to be a redeemer. He wants to be a sanctifier. He wants to be the Holy Spirit. But he can't do that in that form. Okay? So all these attributes are in there. And the prophet of God calls it a fountain of spirits. Remember, from the eighth, he's lowering himself, he's coming down, alright? And so you're going to see this in the statue of a perfect man. Alright, so remember this, is that this being has got substance which has no chemicals and no hormones. You see, you've got hormones, you've got chemicals in you. If you want to be happy, it's because the change of your hormones, the change of your chemicals. If you're excited, but this being, there's no hormones, there's no chemicals, there's no atoms, but he is love. He is mercy. Alright? I showed you this Aleph infinite. That's where he is. So, he has attributes, and agape is a substance attribute. He has no start, he has no end. Some quotes here, it's just like space there, and then he gathered up into the Logos. And then he came from Logos into Christ. Remember that, what did he do? He gathered his thoughts, and he says, well, I'm going to change my form. I want to reduce the form so that eventually I will have fellowship with my children. Okay? I will have creation, I'll have botany life, I have zoology, marine life, all of this, all for my glory. Alright? And so he says, God coming down to earth, coming down again, he says, just revolving. Alright? Revolving or evolving. Coming from space, from eternity, rolling down, coming on to Logos, and Logos into man. Now when you read that, it seems as though it's instantaneous. But by now you know, it's billions and millions and trillions of years. When he finally comes down and he creates a blood cell. Alright? So he chooses the form he will be in time from Alpha and Omega. So why? Because he's the father of spirits. He has a nature, but he doesn't have a soul. He is now condescending. Remember, he is condescending and he's not born. Very important. If you are born, it means you must have a soul. So this being is not going to be born. He's only lowering his form. He's not born. So what happens now is that when he begins to start speaking and creating a body of light, that becomes his first creation. The first creation of God is when he splits the atom and he designs himself a body. Okay, so he said, but where does the firstborn come into it? The firstborn is only when he creates a blood cell. That, brothers and sisters, is where much of the problem lies in the message community for the recordings, is that when you're reading quotes that Jehovah wrapped himself in a blood cell, Jehovah becoming a man, Jehovah in the womb of Mary, when you're reading that, and now you find that when you're reading the message, you say, wow, Brother Louis is wrong. Yes, Brother Branham is saying that Jehovah was born. If you are born, you must have a soul. If you are born, your name must be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I told you, in who is this Melchizedek? He says that the Son's name had to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So when the blood cell that was in the womb of Mary was actually the created blood of God with all the qualities to make up this body. So when you're looking at that body, you're looking at the firstborn. I did not even bring the Son down yet. You say, but who is the Son? He is just a soul. He's just a soul. Your body, read the message, the Comforter. Your body that you have came from your mother and your father. Your body came from your mother and father by the union of your mother and father. You think God's going to break His own law where the son becomes His own father? He's not going to do that. So that's not the firstborn. God is not born. He's just lowering Himself. But that becomes the first creation when He makes Himself a body of light. I'm rounding up. I don't have time to finish my work today. So I told you that this being is Aleph Infinity. Okay? You can't explain this being. Okay? You can't explain this being. It's got limits. We use the symbol 8. All right. Let's look a few things now. Just I want to try and explain to you some things about a wave. And then I think I will close because I'm not going to go into too much of details. Now, I'm speaking to you. So I want you to understand. I'm going to try and break this down so that you'll understand more about this energy and about the waves and the particles. You are now listening to me. But let's break down what I'm saying to you, how it works in terms of science. So when somebody speaks, they have sound waves, which are actually called mechanical waves. Mechanical waves. The mechanical waves are made up of compression and rarefactions of air molecules. I'm speaking. They are air molecules that's going out. You can't see it. I'm talking to myself now. There are air molecules going out. They are all compressed. Alright? And what does it do? It is creating a pattern we call oscillations. It's creating a pattern of oscillations. Just for you to hear me, Brother Louis, what's the speed of it? How quick are you hearing me? You can't even measure it. Okay? It creates a pattern of oscillations. And what does it do? It's actually a transfer of energy through the oscillation or vibration of particles. As I'm speaking, it's a transfer of energy. Have you been to a meeting and you sat in the meeting, so boring. Then you go to a meeting, oh my goodness, it was a transfer of energy. Now, I want you to remember what I'm saying. When somebody has a thought, and when they speak to you, you call it a word. But it's actually giving you information. It's carrying information. This is going to help you to understand a lot of things. Alright? So, the person is speaking. All this is made up of air molecules, it's compressions and rarefactions, and what is it is creating a pattern. Have you noticed that when you talk to somebody on a cell phone, especially on WhatsApp, and I hate WhatsApp sometimes, for the same reason, I can't hear you. Where are you standing? Are you moving around? Okay, you're going to learn about frequencies and vibrations and the waves and so forth. Okay, you're going to learn about that. So, the human ear, your human ear, has got what you call tiny hairs. Now, tiny structures called hair cells. Now, many of you have this habit of Johnson & Johnson. You know Johnson & Johnson earbuds? You have this habit. And one of the ear specialists said, the day they introduced Johnson & Johnson earbuds is the day my practice flourished. Okay? Well, because what you're doing, you are rubbing against your hair cells. You say, but Brother Louis, it's so sticky. Yeah, there are ways to clean it, you know. I'm not here for hygiene. But to tell you that you got hair cells. So those hair cells, which is in your canals, what is it going to do? They begin to vibrate. They are going to vibrate. They're going to convert what I'm speaking, which is called mechanical energy, to electrical energy. It's all happening fast. You can't even count the time. Okay? So, this electrical energy that I'm speaking started off with a mechanical wave. It's going to go through a process of compression and so forth. This hair cells that God put in there is going to convert my mechanical energy that I'm sending out to electrical energy. And this electrical energy, right, which are signals and is carrying information, is going to get interpreted by the brain. You can go home and study the chart. That's how you are hearing. And that is how your brain is understanding what I am saying. Okay? Because it is processing it so fast. It's processing so fast. Now, this is how God was doing. When he has his thoughts, okay, he wants to transfer information. Okay, and if I should skip all this today, okay, let's go back. Okay, so he chooses what form he will be in time from Alpha and Omega. Okay, so we're reading 1 John 5 and 7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven: Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Everybody knows that the Father and the Holy Ghost are one and the same being. Now, but you're only reading about the Word. The Father and the Word. Okay? The Father and the Word. And these three are one. So, what does he do? He takes this energy that he is in. All right? This energy that he's in, he's going to speak his thoughts. Take what I taught you now about your own hearing. He takes his thoughts and he's going to speak it, which is going to become a word. Automatically now you know that there's an energy in it. What he's speaking about, he's bringing, there's an energy there. That energy is going to create what we call a wave. It's going to create a wave, okay? Wave or particle, you're going to hear about duality later on. Wave and particle. And that particle, brothers and sisters, is going to become materialized or manifested. Then what is all this? Okay, whatever his thoughts are, you're going to find he's going to speak it, which is going to carry information, which is going to carry a word. And that word is going to go through, is going to be carried out there. And eventually you're going to see a dove. You're going to see a human being. It's called becomes material. That's what you're going to say, it's called manifested. You're using these words just to say what he had in his thought, he's going to speak it. And somewhere along the line, it's going to get created. And now you're going to see them in tangible form. So you are actually the expression of God's thoughts. You are actually the expression of God's thoughts. I know there's a lot to go into, but some highlights. The wave and particles also contain information. They're carrying information. Alright? Whatever thoughts he has, that is why I said to you, whatever thoughts you hold in your mind is so important. If you are negative, if you are all the time looking at the worst side of you, you've got to change your thoughts so you change your environment. You can't change your environment. Like a lot of times people say, you know what, if you have a tree, okay, this is my tree. Here's my tree there. Just figure out the dimension and then you have fruits. You have fruits. Lots of times it could be mango. And you want to say, oh, I just wish I had a banana. You cannot change the tree into a banana. You've got to change the seed. If you change the seed, right, you can get a banana. So every thought you have is actually in seed form. It's a seed. Every thought you have is a seed. So you can either, you say, but what do I do? Change your thought. If you're having a thought that's always holding you down, keeping you as a prisoner, you know, you're so negative. Brothers and sisters, if I share you some of the things that we studied through this message, you'll say, but Brother Lou, it's all there. This prophet was our Einstein. He told us everything. Your thoughts that you're holding is carrying energy. And the moment you speak it, okay, it's going to come back to you. So for you to change your environments, your situations and so forth, you need to check your thinking, what kind of a thought you're having all the time. Alright, so remember, waves and particles, every time a man speaks, every time you speak, it creates waves. It's called a wave and a particle. That's what science is terming, which is air molecules going out. When I speak, there are molecules going out that you can't see. And what does it doing? Creates a molecule, it's compressed, okay, into a wave or a particle. And what happens? It's a mechanical energy. Your ear cells picks it up and converts it into electrical signals. Your electrical signals in your ears sends it to your brain. It says, oh, I'm hearing what he's saying now. Take that and now apply it to what God is doing. He's thinking. He's not going to speak it. And that speaking now is going to get converted, okay, into something that's tangible. So the word is carrying energy. The word is carrying energy that is included in those waves. What God is going to speak, it's an energy. So you're going to find that even the sun is part of the energy. The tree is part of the energy. But everything is in a lesser and lesser and lesser form. It's like having electricity. You go to a mega station and you try to touch it, you blow yourself. But I can touch electricity now. What? Look. Why? Because now it's in compressed form. Okay? It's reduced. It's condescended. Take that and apply it to this being. And you'll begin to understand why he had to lower himself. So what happens is that every wave is very, very fast. It travels very fast. Have you noticed this is water. Now if I do this, have you noticed that you could not really see, but you only saw a whole lot of... Now, multiply that a million times or even 1,000 times. You'd find that every wave is moving. Every wave is moving. But when it is slowed down, it becomes what we call a particle. It's called a particle. And from that particle, brothers and sisters, is where you'd find now... you have what we call matter. So when this wave can be slowed on, it will become a particle. So the word is energy traveling in the form of light, in the form of waves, but it has a particle attribute in there. That means whatever thinking and thoughts he has, and as he's speaking, I'm going to have a dove. His thoughts now, when he speaks it, I'm going to create a dove. He already put the information in what he spoke of how the dove is going to be. No gallbladder or whatever it is. Alright? Today, science is perverting it. You say, Brother Louis, what do you mean? It's called genetic... I forget the word. The genes can be separated. Now, like if you want children that's got blue eyes. Okay? Or you want your child to be not like me. Came out towards the evening. Fair. You want them fair. Okay, light complete. They will identify the genes. Okay, genomes. They call it genome studies. Now they will identify. Okay, this is the gene that's going to affect your family line. We will select this gene, and so that is why you find that they now what you call having a whole lot of clinics. They break into the laboratory of God. God already had in his mind how the dove is going to be, how the lamb is going to be, how the lion is going to be. He had in his thought, all he did was to speak it. And so when you track the lion down, you're going to see scientifically there's a quality that symbolizes Jehovah God, but Jehovah God is not in the lion. Okay, that's why we are saying a particular attribute is in that word. Alright? So, when you slow it down, it will become flesh, or it becomes matter, and it's going to carry information. Now, all this, brothers and sisters, we're going to go through it. We will go through it as we're going on. I know, towards the end, people accuse me of being too fast. Okay? But I want you to know that we are still in the eighth dimension. He's lowering himself. He's going to decide what form he is. And now that you know about a wave, now that you know about a particle, now you're learning about mechanical waves and electrical waves and energy and how your natural body understands it. Look at how God set laws. He says, when I want a dove, my laws are going to design the dove according to the information that I had of my thinking. Like, for example, and I want to close with this. Architect wants to design the building. Okay, I remember sitting with the designers, or sitting with Pastor Jaggi, the engineer, at that time, and then we're designing. If you look at our building, you'll notice our windows are all narrow. You may ask, but why did you make the windows narrow? Why did you put your windows here so high and not as so low there? If you ask me, I would have told you why I designed it that way. It's because of this side here, if there was a robbery, nobody can see. So if you stand outside, you can't really reach our window. Because that was my thinking, my design. But Brother Louis, why did you make it so narrow? It's so that you can't get people just to get in there so quickly. If you look at the windows at the back, why did you make it so narrow? Because you can't take our equipment through. You can't steal. That was my thinking. So what did the architect do? He took my thoughts. He put it on paper. Okay, Pastor Jaggi designed the engineering of the building. Okay, how it's going to be and so forth. And he said, okay, we'll do this. So he took my thinking. He put it on a computer, on a drawing. The drawing carried my information. The reach of this church was designed so that you will not be too far from me. When I talk to you, you will not be too far from me. Some people said, but why didn't you put the church this way? If you ask me what I told you, because then some of you will have difficulty to see the board. You'll have difficulty to see the screens. The screens either have to be high or the stage has to be higher for you to see. All right? And then it was designed with the doors going out because in case there's a fire. Why did you put the doors to God? Because if there's a fire, emergency, you push the doors out. Now, what did he do? He took my thinking. All right? He took my thinking. He said, listen, in order for me to transfer your information of what you want, I'm going to put it in a paper form which you call plans. So when the builders read the plans, it carried my information because it was my thoughts about the building, how the building is going to be. Are you with me? So wherever you are carrying the plans, you are carrying the information that I had in my mind. What you're seeing is the implementation of my thinking. Take that, and exactly when God said, I'm going to create a dove, he put information, okay, and whilst you have an architect with plans and so forth, God spoke those things, and in time, things begin to manifest. Okay, God bless you. I'll pick this up as we go on. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for these moments that we've had. There's so many things that we are learning. We pray that you'd grant the bride the understanding. May your Spirit Divine become the after teacher. Undertake for each one of us, Father, even as we attend to various responsibilities and commitments now. Lord, and the day ahead of us, and the week ahead of us, we believe that you watch our coming ins and our goings out. We ask this in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody said, and God bless you. Who's coming over, Brother Logan?